Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey, beautiful people. My name is Alisa Reynolds, and I'm the executive chef and founder of My Two Cents LA and host of My Last Meal, a new podcast that asks people from all walks of life, whether it's musicians, celebrities, artists, chefs, scientists, Renaissance men and women, what their last meal on earth would be and why. So don't forget to tune in on Fridays. You can find us anywhere you can listen to podcasts. So why not? Let me tell you about the last meal.
This is Amanda Hirsch from the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. You might know me from Not Skinny But Not Fat on Instagram, where I spend my time talking about reality TV, celebrities, everything happening, and pop culture. I also talk to some of our favorite celebs and reality TV stars. We talk about what's going on. Tune in every Tuesday and just feel like you're talking with your best friends in your living room. You guys, hold on to your seats because I'm so excited about today's guest. Host, author, and activist, Karamo motherfucking Brown.
What's up, boo?
How are you?
I'm good.
You're daytime talk show host now.
Hey, she's
you
doing
are
it.
Boyfriend of the year right now. It's your boyfriend's 33rd birthday.
Yeah, today.
You walked in.
And I was a little rude at first. I was like totally in Instagram post mode. And I had to like come up and say, I apologize. I'm not being rude.
No, he needs to know.
Yeah,
he needs to listen to this clip.
Exactly.
And know that you were all in it.
All in. Like, deep.
Did you write something really romantic?
I didn't because I just, well, let's see what I wrote.
I said,
happy 33rd birthday to the most handsome man and talented man I know. This is your Jesus year. Praying you have a year filled with everything your heart desires. I love you.
Aww.
It's not romantic.
So not a breakup
really.
Post like people thought.
Yeah. Yeah. So the reason that I was focused on the post, as I told you, is because at 7 a.m. this morning, I woke up and people were like, is it your boyfriend's birthday? Why haven't you posted yet? And I was like, Jesus. Like, it just woke up. Like, I was like crazed by it.
So you needed to make sure that people didn't.
Yeah,
know
I was like, we're not apart. You know what
Wait,
I mean?
So what does having your Jesus year mean?
Oh, so like, it's like the 33rd year is when he like did all the stuff that like
was good.
Yeah, that was good. So it was like, it was like he like, I guess that's like when he resurrected and like when he like, you know, like, you know, led people. Obviously, my Christian card is getting revoked right now. I don't know. I'm like, please don't let my mother hear this.
I went to
Sunday school, Wednesday church,
and that's what
Tuesday
people used to
church.
Say.
Yeah, they used to be like, "This is your Jesus year."
Okay,
where is that from?
Wait, so you're from the South?
I'm from the South. I'm from Texas.
From Texas.
Somebody needs to write in and tell me they've heard.
Write
of
in,
Jesus
call
year.
In, yeah, everybody. Call in. We need to check it out.
It's
we need...
Jesus year.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That's my next like birthday post for someone. They're gonna be like, "What?
What?
I hope your boyfriend gets the."
He probably won't now. So now you're like, is it romantic? Not only is it not romantic, it's also confusing.
I mean, it's a little official.
Exactly.
I have to say, Karamo, like, have your. This is your Jesus year.
Your Jesus year, like.
So you were saying before, you were saying you're so focused on it. People were writing in thinking you might have, people are really invested in your life.
People are invested, which I appreciate because I stay open. I stay vulnerable about it. You know what I mean? And so I'm fine. Like, give me a reminder because I could have been like drunk last night for Halloween and forgot that it was his birthday.
Okay,
so
we talked about this too. You fully went out for Halloween.
Yes.
At the club.
At the club.
What club? Like, what are clubs?
Again, us gays in the name of our clubs. It was called Horse Meat Disco.
Oh, is that in New York City?
It is in New York City.
Stop.
It is.
Where? Like meatpacking?
No, it was in Brooklyn this time. It was like this big warehouse four
floors. Oh, okay. It's a Brooklyn warehouse party.
Brooklyn warehouse party called Horse Meat. They do it every once in a while. Everyone is like, you know that line from Mean Girls was like, the real cool girls just go slutty and put.
Yeah, everyone's using that audio for Halloween now.
Yeah, that was all of us.
Oh, everyone was slutty?
There was no gay in there that really put on like a real costume. It was like short shorts and a unicorn head. It was like short shorts and like bumblebee ears.
Yeah.
It was like, my friends, three of them did Mad Max and they just wore like slutty black clothes.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And black
funny makeup.
And I was like,
and everyone's hot.
Yeah, I think beauty comes in all shapes.
Beauty
and sizes.
Comes in all yeah, shapes and so. Sizes. Last time I told you I went to a Brooklyn warehouse party, I wore a unicorn onesie and was sweating, and everyone looked like what you're describing. And I was like, okay, well,
we're here now. Yeah, we're here.
So anyway, you said you're from Texas.
Yes, I am.
So what kind of a kid were you? Were you like, give me the spotlight kid? That everyone knew you were going to be in like entertainment where you are now?
No, I was the helpful kid because I'm the youngest of four older sisters. So I was always trained to like move, to do, to act. I feel like Gaga right now. Bus, not the bus. It was always like, do what we tell you to do. Do this, do that. You know what I mean? And also I felt like a protector of my mom. So when I got into high school and middle school, I was always just like the helper kid. So like I was in student government. I was in safety patrol as a kid.
Stop.
I was a peer counselor.
So were you popular?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know you could be popular in all those.
Well, I also
things.
Played football.
Oh, okay.
And ran track.
Okay.
I was like an overachiever kid.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but I wasn't popular because I was like the cool guy. I was popular just because I was known.
Mm.
I was always in everyone's business. So, like, I would be the one as a peer counselor that could get you out of class if you had an issue because I could bring you to the counselor's office and then talk to you and do a talk. And so, like, sometimes my friends would be like, I just want to get out of math. And I'd be like, got you.
Oh, so, wow. You were the guy to know.
Exactly.
I can't believe you always had that helpful thing going on.
I did from early. I'm telling you, it's from being around women because women are the most empathetic and amazing people in the world. And so I just got trained to be more empathetic. You know, like, my grandma was a big force in my life. And she's always telling me, you have one mouth, two ears, you're supposed to be doing one double the time. And so I literally apply that through my entire life of being like in spaces where it's like, I'll just listen. You know what I mean? Still to this day, my sisters all call me. They don't call each other. They all call me.
How many sisters do you have?
Four.
And they all call you?
Anything that's going on.
That is so much. I have two sisters, so I can't imagine that times two.
Yes.
And them calling you with their problems,
the problems with each other.
With each other, I was going to ask, they fight between themselves.
Oh my gosh, of course. And I'm the one who gets the call.
Do they fight? Do you fight at all?
No, I don't have any issues with, I've never gotten to a fight with any of my sisters. Not one. Because again, like, I just sit there and listen. And I'm like, I get your side. I understand. And they're always like, thank you.
Oh my God.
And then I'm like, well, but do you get her side? And they're like, well, yeah, fuck you. And then like, that's always how the conversation goes.
How lucky are your sisters?
Yes, they're very neutral.
That is amazing. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so super helpful, but also involved in all these different things.
Yeah, and also, there was not many black folks in my school. There was like maybe six of us. And I, at 15, sprang up to 6'3 and had a full beard. So I was this exact size at 15.
What?
So of course, like it also just like aided in me being known because everybody else was like, most of my friends were like young Jewish kids who were like still 5'7" and like hadn't sprung up yet. So like,
yeah.
I like sprung all the way up. I'm trying to find a photo of myself.
And a full
in high
beard.
Full,
didn't shave yet.
Full beard. Like I did. I started doing a goatee in high school.
Wait, so that means you were probably popular. People wanted to date you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I started to let people into my life regarding my sexuality. I don't use the term coming out because I think that term gives people the wrong power.
So how do you say it?
Come letting people in, because that's the actual
letting
act.
People into my sexuality.
Yeah, letting them into my life.
Okay.
It's because the act of, you don't say coming out with my sexuality, you say I'm just coming out.
Right.
And so the thing is, actually, I'm not coming out, I'm actually letting you in, which gives me the power to say when I want to allow you to be in. And if you're not healthy for me, it's okay that I don't want to let you in. It doesn't mean that I'm ashamed of who I am. It just means that I'm in a space where you're not the person I want to let into my life. Mm-hmm. And we all do that organically, whether you're straight, gay, you let people into parts of your life. But for some reason, we give this undue pressure to people in the LGBTQIA plus community to feel like they have to make grand announcements.
To come out.
To come out. And it's like, no, I have no shame of who I am. And when I want to let you in, like, I always thought it was absurd that, like, this aunt that I haven't talked to in years, all of a sudden is at Thanksgiving dinner, I'm supposed to tell her, like, yes, you know, I'm bottoming on a Tuesday. Like, bitch, like, you don't need to know that. Like,
right.
You know, it's none of your business.
Right.
I don't know what third husband you're on, so... Why do I have to tell you who I'm dating? You know what I mean?
Wait, so what age did you say you started?
I started
letting people in
at 15.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was openly gay. I'm trying to find my high school photo. I'm not.
And when did you know though, Karamo?
Ooh, I don't know. Like probably like 7. Like this is
a weird question to ask too, because if you would ask me like when you would when I knew if I you know that I was straight. I wouldn't know how to answer that. Yeah. So that's also a weird question now that I think about it.
A little, not really, in my perspective. What?
I would have
else.
Said, like, I knew that Brad Pitt was cute, but I don't remember when that was.
Yeah, because when I equated to, like, when, like, not just, like, a love or an interest, was more like when I just knew that, like, okay, puberty's coming, and, like, okay, there's something more than just, like, you're cute. It was like,
right.
I was like, oh, oh, hi. Hi, you know. Guy that my sister just brought over, who's like, you know, oh my gosh, I used to crush on all my sister's boyfriends. How I really knew.
Was anyone else in your high school?
Now, all like motherfucking the entire class. But when I was there, it was just like me. And I was like, girls, y'all didn't want to come help me out, but it was fine. I still had a great high school, but like none of them. But like slowly, it was like they just one by one trickled out, like, you were my hero in high school. Aww. I wish I could have did it. And I'm like,
but that's cute.
I'm like, fuck you. Okay. I'm like, I was like, I needed you. I needed you.
You needed a community.
Exactly.
And you didn't have it though, you feel?
I did, because all my girlfriends were great and everything else. I'm just trying. I'm sorry. I'm
I know
trying
you to need
really
to find the photo.
Because I want you to see how
you need
grown...
to put in your favorite so you can whip it out.
I thought that it was in here. Oh, here it goes.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
This was me in high school. This is 15. I'm 15.
No.
I'm 15 there.
No.
I'm 15 or 16. I'm not 18.
I am dead.
Yes. I'm like a grown ass.
You're a full man. You're a full 24-year-old. You're 24 years old. I am dying. And
so,
look
yeah.
at that small. This is what I'm using for my promo pics, by the way. So please
yes,
send
okay,
it
great.
Over.
I will send this over to you.
I love it. Yo, guys. Okay. Let's take it back. Let's relax. I'm just excited to talk to you about NYX, because you guys know that I love NYX. I've shared it on Instagram. NYX is a female-founded Canadian company. I mean, I love my Canadians. Like, sorry, guys. Love my Canadians. So very much support this brand, especially because it's been size inclusive from the beginning, which I really, really appreciate. But also, they make leak-proof underwear that could wildly absorb up to 8 tampons worth of liquid. I know. It's perfect for periods, light bladder leaks, and sweat. So literally absorbent, like literally can absorb that amount of liquid. I know it sounds wild, but try for yourself. Millions of people have switched to NYX, and especially because it comes in a range of styles and sizes extra small to 4XL. And they also have bras, so you can match your leak-proof underwear with some really comfortable wireless bras. I also have NYX apparel. They make amazing model t-shirts and just everything you could want. So right now, you could get 15% off your first order. So you go to NYX.com and you use the promo code NOTSKINNY. I know, shocking, but that's the promo code NOTSKINNY at checkout. So NYX is spelled KNIX.com and the promo code is NOTSKINNY for 15% off your first order.
Were you popular?
I was called fat. I never said this before. No one's ever asked me. I actually was chubbier than all my friends because they were like sick thin.
Yeah.
So I got called names, which is, you know, looking back, it was hard. And then I like got popular at sixth grade. I embraced that real quick.
Yeah, you're like, no more names? I'm about this.
I love this life. So that was fun, but I was one of those girls, like, I got my period first. Like, I was I was tall then. You thought I was tall today, then I'm not. But I was tall then. I, like, grew into myself really quickly.
It sucks, because that shit kind of still sticks with us.
Like. I wonder. I think that my mom did such a good job. I always say this. My mom was one of those moms that told me every day that I was, like, beautiful, talented, aww, and perfect.
Hi, Mom.
Where, like, if I was ugly, untalented, and, you know, I don't know, I wouldn't know, because she literally instilled that in me every day. Oh. And that's how I feel like I'm.
Can I tell you something? That's the same thing my father used to do for me. And I think that's why our asses are in front of the camera. My father used to say to me every day, you're a champion, you're the very best, and you're supposed to save the world. He would say that in every birthday card, you're a champion, you're the very best, and you're supposed to save the world. And that stuff, I used to like walk into space and I'm like, oh, I'm the very best right now. I can do this. Like, wow. It's weird, like, when you get that sort of affirmation, like,
it works. It That's worked. Why whenever I see, you know, friends that I've seen struggle and then met their families and saw, like, wait, this is how they're treated at home, or their parents never tell them that they look good. They say the opposite. They say you're dressed like a slut or whatever I used to hear. I'd be like, wow,
honey,
how
welcome
lucky.
To the Karamo show. Like, that's literally what I deal with every day with my guests. I'm sitting there and they're like crying, and I'm like, what was this relationship like as a kid? I swear, that's like one of the main questions I always ask. I'm like, well, what was it like as a kid? And then you just start hearing it. Oh, they weren't there. They used to say this to me. They used to tell me
it's
that.
It's always
was
from the parents, right?
Always, always. It's but the always. Parents, most of the time, don't know themselves, because, it, you know, generational trauma is so real, and we should do more, I think, in like high schools, like, instead of giving like, you know, just like, you know, home economics class that none of us use, like, really, like, give practical things that could help people to see how to be better. Like, I remember the parent-teacher conferences I used to go to with my kids. I'm like, you're really not giving me any tools of how my kids are really acting in class. Mm. And I get it. Most teachers are overworked, so I can't put the pressure on them. But I think if it was school board, I sound like I'm running for office right now. I promise you I'm not. I swear to God, I'm not. I know election is coming up. Please,
Karamo,
everyone vote.
2024.
I know, like, but I just think, like, if we talk more about that stuff, because teachers see how that trauma affects us and how other kids act with other kids. And I think if they would have more transparent conversation with parents about, like, what are you saying in the house? What are you, because they're repeating. I think it could break some of that, or say to them, well, did you hear it? Just different tools.
Yeah.
But if since we don't have that, we have my talk show.
Right. Like, and it really is so important.
It is, completely. No joke.
We're going to get to the Karamo show. Don't you worry.
Okay,
the Karamo
don't
show
worry.
Is happening right now. But the real world.
Yes!
We cannot forget it. I was the real world. I mean, I'm a reality TV.
You're
freak.
Way too young
I
to have
it.
Known when I was on, because I was on 2004. Where were we, like,
I know.
Four? Three?
Okay, thank you. No.
Oh, okay.
Well, I watched, I don't remember which seasons, because it was so long ago.
Yeah, 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 it was.
But what was that guy, Brad? What season was he on?
Oh, Brad was on San Diego, which was right after mine.
Stop!
Yes.
So maybe that was my first one.
Yes, okay,
I
great.
I might have actually watched yours.
Yeah, but I did a challenge right after that. So if you saw a challenge.
I did see the challenge.
Yeah.
Let's go back for a moment, because reality TV now is so different.
Yeah.
Tell me how you got on The Real World. Philadelphia, right?
Philadelphia. I actually had no intention of getting on it. I want, like, in the back of my mind, I would have always thought it would have been cool, but I was protesting MTV, and that's how they found me.
Protesting against MTV?
Yes.
Because
there used to be a show on called Pimp My Ride.
Right.
And I had just gotten out of college, and I was working in social services, and I after my job, part of my job was also to run this mentoring program after for the kids to come to. And so my kids were getting locked up in juvie or getting detention because the program was in South Central, and there was this rodeo drive that doesn't go exactly in a rodeo drive, but like, people would, so they would go to the richer areas and steal hubcaps and get caught. And the kids, I would talk to them transparently, and they were like, it's because I watched Pimp My Ride. I wanted to do something with my ride. So being fresh out of college, I was like, fuck this. I'm going to like organize, and we're going to go outside of MTV Studios in Santa Monica. And we're going to, and I got like 25.
Wait, but you were in California. You were living in California?
I was in California, yeah.
So you moved there.
Yeah, I'd already moved there. And so I was like, literally got like 25 people, like five other employees, like 20 parents. And we were literally outside. And some woman came out and was like, who organized this? And I was like, me. And she was like, really? And I was like, are you going to talk to me? And I was like, because my boyfriend, he's actually, he was a lawyer at the time. And she was like, your boyfriend? And like, I'm like durag looking like, you know, like, you remember we the old oversized t-shirts we would wear. So like, I didn't give a gay appearance to this woman that came out. And she was like, come back the next day and we'll talk to you.
She was casting.
I did not know that. I went home and created the most amazing PowerPoint like you had ever seen about the detrimental effects on our society.
Wait, well, you thought this was what?
I thought I was going to get back and like talk to somebody about getting it off the air. Like, I thought like that's how TV worked. Like, you know, like I thought I was the original Twitter. I was like, I'm canceling this shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I thought.
I love this.
And I went back the next day with my like, I literally bought, I'm not even joking. I wish my best friend was here, Trey, because he still laughs at me. I also got like a trifold like science project board. I stayed up all night and I got there and they were like, so we want to talk to you about the real world and casting. And the sad part of it is like, I threw that fucking science board so quickly. I was such a traitor to the cause. I was like, you want to put me on Real World? Fuck these kids, put me on the fucking Real World. Like, I'm not even joking. I wish it had a different ending where I was like, no, I need to like stay focused. I was like, I swear, I left that I left that trifold, I don't know what it's called, the science board in the lobby. And I was like, yeah, sure, great. Like, what's up?
And so the cause had been left behind.
Left behind. Yeah. And literally, they're at the end of the casting. And so I literally got cast from that day. Within 3 weeks, I was in the Real World house.
Did you know the show? Had you watched?
Oh, of course. I was a big fanatic. I was a fan. Like you know, the Trishel Vegas season. I thought everyone was hot and sexy. And I just wanted to be on it. And and I quit my job and went to the Real World.
And you went to Philadelphia.
And I don't know where any of those kids are today.
Really?
Like, there's four in prison right now that are probably writing my name on the like, fucking wall. You. Like, fuck Karamo. Right. Like, he was supposed to help us.
No, because I was thinking that. I was like, not many. Today, you go on reality TV, a lot of the people that go into it usually know, okay, I'm going to get this many Instagram followers. I'm going to get brand deals. You weren't thinking that then.
No, I was just thinking I want to go. I grew up in apartments. So I was like, first of all, I want to live in a house. Mm-hmm. And I want to live in a house with a hot tub. And I want to live in a house full of liquor. Like, that was the only thing on my mind.
Yeah, like, fresh out of college. Could you guys imagine? That's such.
Yeah, there was
but
nothing.
But you had a boyfriend, you said.
I did. And I dropped him. I swear to God, dude, like, I was the most. Shallow just washed over me. It was like.
You were like, bye.
Bye, kids. Bye, job. Bye, boyfriend. I was like, I'm going on the Real World. None of y'all can, like, fuck with my life anymore. Sorry I'm cussing so much, but
we love it.
That was literally, I'm not even joking.
So how was that for you though?
It was amazing because then I got there and it was like wake up call because back then the Real World was actually designed to put real strangers who had real different issues together. And immediately it was like, there was another gay roommate, but like I was so hyper masculine and so caught up in that idea of like either you're hyper masculine or hyper feminine. So he and I had tension. There was someone who had never been around black folks before. And so we had tension. And I was like, are you kidding me? It's 2004. You'd never been around black folks.
Yeah.
And then there was a black girl on the show, an African-American woman named Shavonda, who had a bad relationship with her father and her brother. So she thought negatively of me as a black man. And so there was all these things that like immediately I was like, I thought this was supposed to be a party house. And now we're like having real discussions on race and like. It was like real and it just.
So did you step into your role as helpful Karamo?
No.
No.
No, it broke me.
Really?
Yeah, because I had never been confronted with that much conflict and my mental health and my self-esteem didn't know how to handle it. I would fight and then I would feel so bad. I would go out on, there was this bench in front of the house. I would go on the bench and sleep on the bench.
Literally.
Because I was terrified of being in that house.
Wow.
Terrified. It just like no one would prepared me for like what that was.
How many months do you stay?
4.5 months.
That is a long ass time.
Yeah. Like nowadays reality shows are quick. They get shot.
They're like, you know, 7 weeks.
Yeah. 7 weeks. It was like a true journey. We had jobs. We had, you know.
Right. Lives. They make you take a job.
And also like that was the other thing. Like I quit my job. So I didn't have any money. And like I thought like.
They're going to pay for everything.
Free. Yeah. And it was like, no, they're like, you got to still get yourself breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We just, because we put alcohol in here, there's nothing else in here for you. And so like, I was broke. And so we didn't get our job to the month and a half in. And I was like, I was too embarrassed to tell my roommates who had money that I was broke. And then they're already fighting with me about the fact that, like, it was a mess.
Have you ever done, like, a rewatch?
I just did because one of the streaming networks put it on.
And really?
So I watched it, yeah.
And
I would handle so many things differently.
Well, obviously, yeah. It's been 20 years.
Yeah, but, like, but also there were some parts where, like, you're I'm like, also hey. Like, you motherfuckers should have handled shit differently. Like, there was a point where I was in the club, and it was an all-white club. And police surrounded me and patted me down because they got an anonymous call that I had a gun and they had put me up on the wall. And my two white roommates were in there and they were drinking and partying. And I'm like screaming, help me, help me. And they come outside. I'm surrounded by cops and they're like, you're fucking overreacting. It was a prank call. Nowadays, we understand like the racism and how it all works out. At that point, they fucking did it. And they were like totally gaslighting me and making me feel shitty for being upset. Like there was a scene, like literally we walk into the house and my roommate, my other girl roommates were like, was it really that bad? And they're like, no, it's not that bad. It was just like seven cops around him. And I watched it back and I'm like,
oh my God.
Yeah. So I mean, they're doing those Real World reunion shows and I would totally be down to go back and do it for like a week.
Okay. You guys heard it here.
I totally would. Like I would love to go back in the house with my cast.
Wow. So yeah. Did you know?
Sorry, that was a really long story for real.
No, I love it. Give it all to me.
I'm all of it.
It's all about that bass, no trouble. So bass, but that's spelled B-E-I-S, not the bass like Meghan Trainor's song. I guess that's spelled B-A-S-S. I thought, okay, not like the bass of something, which is B-A-S-E. So bass, B-E-I-S, is Shay Mitchell's luggage brand, and it's amazing. I'm sorry. Don't be jealous. I have two pieces of their luggage plus two carry-on bags, and it's just all the rage, okay? And when you travel, you want to travel in style and also, you know, having your luggage be sturdy, having your luggage fit everything that it needs to, having your luggage be able to go in the overhead bin and not being told last minute, like, oh, it's too big, it doesn't fit. Not having your luggage. A friend of mine just had their luggage literally fall apart and somebody had to like saran wrap their luggage, put it together on their way out so they could get home. So listen, you also don't want your luggage to be like, oh, I'm on a business trip. Like you want it to be chic. And with Base, you could get that. You could get chic, affordable travel bags and accessories that look good and are packed with function. So Base is the way to go, you guys. It's sleek and it's also affordable. So don't fret. And right now, Base is offering my listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/notskinny. Go to basetravel.com/notskinny for 15% off your first purchase. That's Base Travel, BEIS travel.com/notskinny.
So I'm trying to understand where the little sparkle of, wait, people like me and know me and maybe I want to be out in the world and on TV. Did that come after the Real World?
No, because after the Real World, I got super depressed and got like totally addicted to cocaine because of like, you get off the Real World and like back then it was like, spring break tours and college tours. So I was literally, to make money, was traveling to colleges to party every night of the week. And it was like, to keep up with the whole idea of partying, it was like, give me a bump of coke, give me more liquor, because it was like, it was like MTV people come and you're like all drinking. And it's like me and Ruthie and Trishelle and like whatever names from back in the day and that you might remember. And we're like getting drunk with college kids to make money. And they'd give you $500 in the night for getting fucked up.
Did you get addicted?
I got super addicted. I got super depressed. I got suicidal. And I thought the world hated me. And so the Real World actually destroyed me. It did not. I didn't walk away thinking like, I'm famous. I'm about to be all like amazing. Also now I realize that I was the first openly gay black guy on reality television. So there was this pressure now of like me being a talking head for the black gay community, which I also was not ready for. I was like, I don't even know myself yet. Like, yes, I'm black and yes, I'm gay, but I don't know what talking.
But where did they
say.
Want you to do that? Like, was there a Twitter? Was there anywhere
no,
to be?
No, there was college tours. Mm. They would also send us to like anytime, you know, there was a spirit day or something. It was like, we were it that was on television.
Right.
So, and I was the black one. So I always got invited.
And you were over it.
Because I didn't know what to do. And I was depressed and I was drunk. And
so you wanted to be done.
I wanted to be done. And luckily, it did not happen. My best friend saved my life, my best friend Trey. because I attempted and he caught me. He had left for work and he came back and he called the ambulance and I was like in the hospital for a month. And like, I love my best friend. And after that, I started to try to figure out like, okay, let me go back to who I am. Let me go pick back up that trifold and try to help kids again. And I went back into social services and just got really focused on helping people and helping my mental health and just got really focused, got more training. And then I found I was a father, and becoming a father is what made me say, you know what? I think I have a voice now that can help people and that I could go out in the world and become something that my father told me I could be.
Well, first of all, wow. Let's take a moment that you are where you are today.
Thanks.
That probably gives so much hope to kids and even adults that were ever in that kind of situation.
I try to be transparent about it because like when you're in the dark space, you just don't know. And it was dark.
And you don't know that it could get good again.
You don't know. And I really try to tell people like, I mean, I was really, really dark. It wasn't like just like I was sad or depressed. Like my best friend, if he would have not walked back in the house in 30 minutes later, I would have, or walked in 30 minutes later, I would not be here right now.
Wow.
That's how close of a call it was. And so I'm just like thankful for, and I tell people like, you can get out and there's people like me and other people in numbers that can help you. And so, yeah.
So you talk about finding out then that you have a son.
Yes.
Let's go back to that for a minute. Wild ass story.
Wild.
Wild story.
So I only had one when I was this 15-year-old, that 15-year-old I told you about. I had a best friend who knew I was gay. She had a boyfriend and she was like, I want to lose my virginity, but I don't want to lose it to him and be weird. So she was like, we should lose it to each other.
Wait, did she know?
Yeah, she knew I was gay.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I was like,
oh my God. But
the logic of 15-year-olds.
Right.
And because I was her good, good girlfriend. Like, right. I wasn't a guy that she saw. I was like her girl. So she was like, I don't want to be weird. And we would talk about them having sex all the time. And I would be like, oh my gosh, you should try it. Tell me what it's going to be like. Oh my gosh. You know what I mean? And so she was like, but I don't want to be bad. She was like, should we practice?
Was it your first time with her?
My first and only time.
Your first and only
and
time.
I swear to God, too, it lasted like 7 seconds. And now I have a fucking 20-year-old.
Is that wild?
Seven. I swear to you. It was 7. She jokes about it.
Well,
now.
She should be proud that it was 7 seconds.
Yeah, it was like, yeah.
She's like, hey, yeah, she's like, I got it.
Yeah, and then, but the horrible part is like, afterwards, she sat on the bed and she was like, was that okay? And I was like so traumatized. I was like,
ew.
I was like, she got up so awkwardly. I mean, we're still close today. Obviously, we co-parent amazingly, but I was the worst. Like for her first time, I always look back and I'm like, you did not deserve my awkward gay ass on the edge of the bed. Like shaking, like as if I was just traumatized by your vagina. And I was like, she was like, I know I walked home so, felt so bad. And I was like,
wait, so you didn't know to use protection?
No.
Oh my God.
No.
Wait, so no. Your co-parent?
Because the thing was, okay. They only told me to use protection to get pregnant. And I was like, I'm gay. I'm not getting anybody pregnant. Like my logic in my head was like, I'm a homo. There's no, she's not getting pregnant from me. Like,
oh my God. Okay, yeah. But you're saying you're co-parenting today, you're cool.
Yeah.
But you still didn't, she didn't tell you for 10 years.
Well, she moved away. So and people don't realize like, you know, the time, like when I was in high school, I went to high school between 95 and 99, there was no cell phones, there was no social media. Mm. So her parents moved like that summer. And unless you have a mailing address, you don't know how to get in contact.
They
and
moved
so
to a different state?
They moved to a different state because her mom was going through something and she had to move with her grandma. And I stayed in the same place. And so...
She had the baby.
She had the baby. And she, what she told me now is that she just didn't want to ruin my life. She knew like... And I, it breaks my heart. And I always like hug her anytime she says this. Cause I'm like, she's like, I didn't want both of our lives to be ruined. I knew you had a brighter future. So I wanted you to be able to... not hold you back. And so she's like, I'm sorry that I didn't tell you. And I like, I have no anger. That's the reason
really?
We've been none. Because I was like, she was 15.
Wait, how did she end up telling you though, 10 years later?
Well, she didn't. She applied for state benefits and the state of Texas found me because she had put my name on the birth certificate, which was legal under that, in the Clinton era, is that you could put the father's name on the birth certificate even if he wasn't present. So my name was on the birth certificate.
Can I ask a really stupid question?
Yeah.
How did she know it wasn't her boyfriend's?
So this is the funny part.
Okay.
She...
I feel like I'm on your show now.
No. So my son's name is Jason Rashad Brown. And Jason was the name that I used to always talk about. Like, I wish that was my name because, you know, having Karamo when I was younger was weird. But she didn't know if it was mine or his. So she decided in the moment to give my son her boyfriend's name, which was Rashad, and then my last name. And luckily it worked out because I never had to change my son's last name. So my son has her boyfriend's middle name.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So his name is Jason Rashad Brown. And it's because her boyfriend's name was Rashad at the time. Isn't that crazy as fuck?
So crazy.
Yes. So I just changed his middle name. We just did a name change.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because he asked me. It was really sweet. He came to me and was like, Dad, you weren't there to name me, so can you give me a name now? We did a whole...
So what would you give him?
Abayomi.
Oh, that's so special. So tell me about finding out. So you found out from Texas. Did you call her?
No. At first, I thought it was like a joke. I tell people this all the time. Like, this was the age of Ashton Kutcher. I thought Ashton Kutcher's finances was in my house. Like, I really did. I swear to God to you. I literally saw the papers, thought it was a joke, and then saw my name. I didn't go through anything else, just saw my name. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're doing like a real world D-list, like Punked. And I was like, I went downstairs to my car and changed and put on cologne.
No, I can't.
Because I was like, if I meet Ashton Kutcher, I'm fucking sucking his dick. Like, I'm like, like, he's in my apartment, we're fucking falling in love, and we're having sex tonight. Like, this is it. Like, you talk about crushes.
Oh,
Ashton
he was
Kutcher
your shit?
Was it.
Oh, really?
I still remember him, like, from, he was on this show called, like, it was this model show that would come on. And he was, like, in the Ford modeling competition. That's how deep my love
oh,
goes.
Oh, wow. It goes back.
Did y'all know about that?
No.
He was in a Ford modeling competition.
Did you know he has a twin brother?
Ashton has a twin brother? If you tell me he's gay, I'm sorry. On my boyfriend's birthday, we're breaking up. If you tell me Ashton
No, I don't Kutcher, think he's gay.
Okay, you know what?
Okay,
you
might we'll have do just more research later.
You just saved my relationship.
I just wanted to know how deep the love goes.
My love only goes for him. I don't go to his family.
You don't care about the family.
I didn't go the stalker route. Like, you know, like,
okay, so you go and change. You think you're meeting Ashton.
And I walk in the house, and if you would see how dramatic I was like, hi, everyone, I'm home.
Just in case.
I was like, hi, I'm home. No one was there. I'm like going through doors and like looking, and I throw the papers down because I'm like, what the fuck? This must be for my neighbor. And even though I said my name, and I went to sleep, and then in the middle of the night, I looked and I saw, opened it up, saw my name, and was like, what is this now? If no, Ashton's not here. And then I saw her name, and I hadn't seen her name since we were 15. Mm. And then I saw my son's name, and I freaked out. I called my sister. Actually, I called my best friend, Trey, and we went on a drinking binge. Like, we went out to the club. And then the next morning, I called my sister and was like, hey, so... I think I have a child. And she was like, get your fucking ass home to Texas right now. And she bought my plane ticket. And I was at home in Texas. And within 2 weeks, I was meeting him. I was like, crazy.
Wow. That is one crazy story.
Yeah.
Did you have an immediate connect? How does that work? He was 10, right?
He was 10. Well, the funny part is I didn't know what to do. So growing up on Full House and Family Matters, I was like, well, anytime there's an awkward situation with a father and a son, you take them bowling. So I took him bowling as our first night meeting. I took him bowling, and I was the shittiest parent because I took him bowling to this bowling alley, which is next to Rice University in Houston, Texas. And so when I walked in, everybody was like, oh shit, it's Karamo from the real world. And I literally was like, I went
forgot
right
about
back.
Him.
I'm not joking. I totally forgot about him and was like taking shots with college kids and was like, there's a pattern here where I just forget children, apparently. Like, I never realized that pattern till right now. And he was sitting in the booth, and no joke, it took me about 30 minutes to remember that I had a kid.
I mean, but that's so understandable. You didn't even
I'm 26, and I'm like, so like, this is my first time meeting. I've only known you for an hour. Kids are like, oh my gosh, they're like, let's take photos and like drink. And they're like, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, great. And then I'm like, I'm here for a reason. And I was like, fuck. And I literally ran back over to him. And he was like, that was cool. He thought it was so cool that dad was known.
Yeah.
And I said, I promise you, I'll never do that again. And I never have. I became like a helicopter parent to a degree because I was like always there. I took full custody immediately with her support. Yeah, because she had four of the kids at the time and with the same man. And so it was like, she was struggling, you know, because he had divorced her. And so
did he move with you?
He moved in with me immediately in Texas. I stayed for 2 years just to get him settled and acclimated. And in that 2 years, I adopted his little brother, same mom, different dads. And so by the time I was 26, 7, I had 2 kids and loved every minute of it.
That's a lovely sound to get on your notifications. And if you have the Shopify app, then when you make a sale, and you obviously need to also have a Shopify store, you're going to get that notification and be like, I made a sale. It's not so fun. So if you don't know what Shopify is yet, it's literally what makes most storefronts that you buy from on the internet work. So like merch from your favorite influencer, KKW Beauty. So it's all powered by something, and it's Shopify. So it could work for huge businesses, but it could also work for you if you want to start, you know, sewing or knitting hats and selling them. You could do that. You could create your own Shopify store, and it's so easy. You could create your own online store and your vibe, and Shopify literally has 24/7 support and libraries that are free, full of educational content. So it's super, super easy. Listen, you could become an entrepreneur so not, I won't say easily, but you can easily call yourself one and say like, I have a brand and a shop, and like no one needs to know that you just started and that maybe you haven't made a sale yet. But what I'm saying is start today. Don't give up on your dreams. You want something, you think there's something you want to put out there in the world, do it. And if there's something you want to sell to the world, do it and use Shopify. So you sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/notskinny, all lowercase. You go to shopify.com/notskinny to start selling online today, shopify.com/notskinny.
So are both of them with you now?
Yeah, I've been having full custody. I mean, they're grown now, so yeah. So they live down the street.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What?
We're super, super close.
I know. Yeah. I saw that. And I saw that you had just opened up about what happened with Jason with his drug overdose. You were very...
Yeah. So in 2020, during the pandemic, like in June, my son started getting a little distant, but I figured it was just like, you know, whatever. And I didn't realize that he was getting into drugs. I missed the signs totally. I thought he was just messing up because he was done with college. And I thought he was just slacking. So I was like, you need to go to Texas and not be here during the pandemic with your mom. He kept missing flights. And I went to the house one morning to basically like whoop his ass. Like, you know, not really, because he was 24 or 23 or 22. I don't know. And I went there just like scold him, and I found him on the floor overdosing. And so, you know, like I jumped into dad mode, got him help. But it just, you know, I just talked transparently about that. And I brought Jason on the show because he wanted to really talk about it. We had never talked about it publicly. And it was just to say, like, if this is happening in all of our homes, people, this is happening whether you want to see it or not. The drug crisis in our country is real. And so we just wanted to show, like, you can make it through. I made it through from my 20s. He made it through.
Did you ever talk to him about that before, about drugs and stuff when he was younger?
Can I tell you, I didn't. Mm. And the reason he knew that I did it because mm-hmm. I was always transparent. Mm-hmm. But I never talked to him about like how detrimental it was. Mm. I talked to him about me getting paid and going on the real world. And I think I might have glorified it in a sense, even though I was saying it like it was horrible. But he's a kid, you know.
Right.
And so... and it's also like, I never talked to him about my father's addiction. Like my father had addiction growing up. And so it was like one of these things where it was like, I should have recognized it and I should have paid more attention.
So you were hard on yourself with that?
Oh my gosh. I had so much guilt.
Really?
So much guilt.
But it's not your fault.
I know that now.
Yeah.
By the way, I tell my clients that all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
Like all the time. Somebody, if someone was in here, I was like, this is not your fault.
Yeah.
With me, I was like, no, this is my fault.
You're like, it's different with me.
No, it's different with me though. This is my fault. This is literally my fault. But you know, it's just what it is.
How is he doing now?
2 years sober.
Great.
And so it's great because I'm hoping now. So there's some generational curses that I've been breaking that I'm very proud of. So first, one of the generations, I'm not gonna know all of them, but like every man in my family has had, my father, my grandfather, my great grandfather all had their first child at 16. And we thought I was going to break it because I told everyone that I was, let everyone in that I was gay at 15. So they were like, oh, great. The curse is broken. Ta-da. Didn't break it. I had a kid at 16. And so I was very clear about like with my son, like, you know, sex is a beautiful thing. It's better when you wait for love. And he waited till he was 22 to lose his virginity to the girl that he's still with.
Aww.
And so I was like, yes, no more 16-year-old babies. Like we've broken that. And then now with him getting to rehab, because I never went to rehab, Now him having that conversation, him us educating ourselves, I'm like, when he has a kid, we'll now have the tools to break addiction in our family. And so I'm kind of like proud of where we're going as a generation.
And how courageous of him to open up on it, on open up about it on your show.
Yeah, we're a very talkative open family. We're very talkative. Because the thing is that I don't believe in like hiding. The more you like hide stuff, the more you like let it in, the more it festers.
Yeah.
It gets worse. Just like let it out. And then it just humanizes us because like everyone's going through the same crap. I'm telling you, working in social services, being on a talk show, having my own talk show, I hear the same story over and over and over from women, men, families, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wives, father, son, mother, daughter. It's like clockwork. Yet we sit in our homes and we think this is no one having no one else.
Right.
And it's like, it's all going
people through. Feel so alone. It's like with, you know, when I talk about my anxiety, I talk about it, well, because it's real, but also I just know how much, even another person saying it, it's not like misery is company.
Yeah, not at all.
It's more like, oh my God, I'm not alone.
Yes.
It's because it's so isolating all these things.
So isolating all these things.
Even though it's so common.
So common. And I hear it all the time. And so, like, for Jason and I, he just learned through me, like, just be transparent. It's okay.
Wow. So he really got that,
yeah,
got that passed down.
Yeah.
So another thing that happened during COVID you were open about is your breakup of after 10 years.
I did, girl.
I broke it up. No, you were engaged. You had a long time love.
Girl, I was supposed to get married September of 2020. And, girl, thank God for Miss Pandemic.
Really?
That was the only part of the Miss Pandemic that I was happy about.
Because it wasn't good? At the end?
I just knew that I wasn't. No, it was. I knew 5 years in that, not 5 years, 7 years in that, like, maybe this is not right.
But kept going.
Yeah, because I was like, I came from a broken home. My parents got divorced. So I was like, I'm not a quitter. We're staying together. And I was like, we're going to do it. We, you know, he was there while I was raising my kids. You know, they call him Pops even to this day.
Oh, wow.
He and I still have a great relationship. And so, but I was just like, we're going to stick this through. And then the pandemic came and I was like, okay, let me have a transparent conversation with you. And I'm talking to myself. I was like, is this all there is? Like, we stopped, I'm going to be way too transparent, but we stopped having sex like those last 2 years. We were just like cohabitating.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm fucking 38. Why am I cohabitating?
Right.
Like, I should be like, sex should be on the menu every single
right.
day.
Right.
And it was not.
And that was like your ding, ding, ding.
That wasn't though, because I had settled myself with like, okay, this is fine. Like, this is that, like, when we're 60, it's not going to be about sex. So it's fine. Like, it's, you know, like, that's what
we're
I kept
getting
rationalizing.
Ready for 60,
yeah. I was like, this is what it is. Like, this is, you know, like, if I'm only staying in for sex, like, then I'm like, it's shallow. But then it was like other things. If I was like, well, I want to like travel all the time and you're more settled. And I want to do these things. And I was thinking, like, maybe I want to have another kid. I was like, you don't. Like, there was all these things. And I was like, so it wasn't the sex that got me. It was, like, the other things that said, is this the life that I want and that I deserve? And when I really had an honest conversation with myself, I said, it's not. And so I need to go get what I want and what I deserve. And ended it. And luckily, we had a very, like, cute with a conversation, a second conversation. I'm good with, like, I'll listen to you. I don't even need to say anything because I don't need to be in defense mode. I'm giving people tips here. Like, you know what I mean? It was very much like, let me validate your feelings. And it ended nicely and we're still friends.
Oh, that's amazing. And how long after, I heard you met your current boyfriend.
Yeah, on IG.
On IG with an accidental like.
Yes.
Wink, wink, like
no,
accidental.
He didn't have any photos of him. He's fine as hell.
And, I saw the muscles.
Yeah, he didn't have.
I saw the muscles on the girl.
He didn't have
though.
Any photos of himself on it. It was like his photography page because he's a photographer, and so I liked the photography. And then he hit me back and was like, "Oh, hi!" And we just started talking. And then I saw his real page, and I was like, "Oh shit, Dad, you're amazing."
And then so DMs.
DMs, and then I move fast. I'm a Scorpio, and we move quick.
So it's 2 years in.
Yes.
And birthdays are a day apart.
Birthdays a day apart. We're doing great, but we were talking transparently before.
Yeah.
And I was like saying, like, you know, I get nervous sometimes because he's 33. I'm 40. I'm about to be 42. And so it's like there's different life things that we're at, like career-wise, where he's like starting out and growing. I'm already established. Financial stuff. Also, you know, like, you know, I want marriage. He's younger and he's like, I don't know. And so it's like nothing is causing a problem, but I get nervous about them. So like right now I'm in the place of like, let's have conversations about those things.
And is he good at communicating like you?
Yes, he is. Okay. He is.
So you see this as...
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope, girl.
I hope so, too. I hope,
you know what I mean? But if not, real talk, I'm one of those people that I know that what needs to be will be, and what will come. Like,
you're not worried.
No, I really believe in the law of abundance, and I believe in abundance of love, and I believe that as long as I'm good and I'm healthy in my mental and emotional state, that I'll find somebody.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping not.
But they're very together and they're very in love. Yeah, okay, everybody?
Yes. Okay. So, like I said, that is very doomsday, but I'm like, we're in a very good place right now. But like, you know.
But yeah, but you're having conversations about the different.
Yeah, because you have to. Like, these are things in relationships, like I tell people on my show, it's like, you have to be able to realize what your differences are.
Yeah.
And you can't be afraid to bring them up, because a lot of times people get afraid that if I bring them up, I'm going to offend the other person. I'm going to start drama. I'm going to, like, whatever thing we tell ourselves. And I know from very early on that if you don't communicate about these things, whether it's like small things of like how you keep the house clean, or how you communicate with your mother, or how you socialize or don't socialize, if you don't communicate about them, these small things get raveled in with bigger things. And then you have all of a sudden, like, where you're like, we need a divorce. And that's why so many people are so unhappy in their relationships. They can't end amicably. And I'm just like, not for that. I'm like, let's just be real and communicate, because we're two different people trying to mesh our lives together.
Yeah.
And it's okay if we're different.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in relationship, people think that they have to be the same. It's okay if you have different ideals, but you also have to be honest if someone's differences are not where you want to be.
Mm.
And it's okay to say, like, because I used to do this. I was big on this, sorry. But I was big on, like, I'm willing to wait and hopefully you change. I'm that girl. Just let you know.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
But before, I was that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I see the potential. I'm totally going to wait because you're going to get there.
So not anymore?
No.
Like, you're willing to meet in the middle now.
Meet in the middle. I'm not waiting for 5-year potential. Girl, okay. Like, potential does not pay bills.
Yeah.
Potential does not give you orgasms. Potential does not give you what you need. Okay? Like, I need you to have that kinetic energy right now in movement. Okay? Not that potential energy that's stagnant we're waiting on. Okay?
Yeah.
And so now it's like, okay, you don't have what I need, but let's talk about where you are.
Yeah.
And if that's something that I can deal with. And vice versa. What do I might not have. You know what I mean? So...
You're like, no, but I haven't.
No. We all have our flaws.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like, I'm super impatient. That's my thing that I'm working on now.
Are you still not sure what to get your favorite people for the holidays? I don't know why I thought I could make that a song, guys. I don't know who I think I am. Like, I think I might think I'm Miley Cyrus. But I just want to make it very clear that if you don't know what to get people for the holidays yet, Macy's has a gift finder, okay? The gift finder makes it so easy to get your mom, grandpa, or BFF a dream gift at any budget, from luxe to $15 and under. I mean, don't cheap out unless it's like a coworker. So you could check out those ideas at macys.com/gift finder. Now, if you do know who you're looking for, but you're stumped on what to get them, you can browse curated shops and gift lists for the jet setters, the one that has everything, the pet parent, and so much more. Now, if you or your special someone is brand loyal till the end, don't worry, because Macy's got designers for days. Coach, UGG, you know we love it. Kylie Cosmetics, highly support the lip kits. Free People, you know I'm a boho chic kind of gal. The list goes on. So, guys, if you're proudly like, I can get my gift shopping done the night before, treat yourself. Also, maybe you need a new set of fluffy house slippers that you want to get on, you know, the holiday vibe with new ornaments, lights, and whatever. Don't forget your R&R essentials and your fave skincare products, all at macys.com/gift finder. Make your, you know, holiday easy peasy. macys.com/gift finder.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
I want to talk about Queer Eye because obviously so many of us, you know you from there.
Yes.
And love the show, are yes. huge fans of the show. Is there another season coming?
Yes, okay. New Orleans. We just shot it. And
well, you are a busy man.
Yeah, she likes a coin. She likes a check. She likes to help people. She likes all of that stuff.
So you just shot New Orleans. Is that season 7?
7. And yes, but you know, sometimes they split it. So it might be 7 and 8.
Mm.
You know, I never know. But it was a lot of fun. I love those 4 Yahoos with all my goddamn heart.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to Heidi Klum's party last night with Anthony and Jonathan. And I ended up having to working. And me and Carlos just stayed home, which I was so pissed about.
And you didn't get to see her as a worm.
I didn't get to see her as a worm.
She's crazy. Her commitment to costume
is everything to me.
I know.
I had a cute one. I was a male Cruella, and I had like everything.
Aww.
But anyway, so I love them. And, you know, one of the things is like we're all hoping like even when this season comes out that it does well, we've been doing well, and that they give us another one because people are always like, oh, y'all are all doing your own projects. And we're all like.
Oh, but we still love this.
Yeah. And it's so funny how people want to break us up
yeah.
and like think that we want to end the show just because we have another thing. It's like, no, girl, we can all multitask.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay.
So tell me about getting that show, because you said you, after The Real World, you know, you went through all that difficult stuff. You went back to social services,
yeah.
found out you had a son. How did you end up on Queer Eye?
It was because of Andy Cohen. I was watching Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
And Carson Kressy was on, and they said they rebooted it. And
if you guys don't remember, Queer Eye was originally on Bravo.
Bravo back in the day. And so they were talking about how they rebooted it. And Carson and Andy was like, oh, are y'all, oh, the original Fab Five's coming back. And they were like, no, they're giving a brand new Fab Five. And I was like, girl, I need to be on that. It's like 11 o'clock in the morning. And so the next morning I woke up and I was like calling everyone, trying to get myself in. And I had just signed with this agent who I'm still with. First agent ever. And I was like, you have to get me in. He called and they said they're done with the casting. I said, no, I know in my heart that I'm supposed to be here. And he called around. He called to this woman named Gretchen, who's the head of casting. And she snuck me in for a legitimate interview 2 weeks before they did their final casting. Like, they had already been doing casting for 1.5 years. Like, Jonathan started 1.5 years, 10, 1.5 years. I was, like, at the very end.
Wow.
And we just talked, and she liked that I could talk.
Mm.
She asked me what category, and I was like, girl, I don't know. I can't cook. I was like, I can cook a little bit. I can do a little fashion. I was like, girl, what is there a category for all of them? She was like, I guess you're going to go out for culture. And
yeah.
I was like, okay. And so they literally brought me to the chemistry test.
After that first interview.
After that phone interview. Like, and literally the chemistry test was like 2 weeks later, no joke. And that's when they picked the cast. And I tell you this. When I got to the chemistry test, the first person I met was Tan and Bobby, and we hung together. And then Anthony came over, and then Jonathan. And we had already clicked as a 5, and we didn't know that we were different categories. And I think that's part of what helped us, is that we naturally became friends.
Yeah.
In that first thing. Well, Jonathan was all, he always says, like, girl, I was... She's like, girl, I was like wanting the show. It could have been y'all four or anybody other four. Like, she said that. She's like, you know what I mean? But in my mind, I'm like, girl, you knew you were with us.
Yeah. That you were meant to kind of do this together.
Yeah.
And you have such
and
good
so
chemistry.
When I got to the casting, everybody else was like art museum people. They had, you know, were in ballets. And I was like, I'm supposed to go up against them. I was like, I'm a mental health expert. I was like, so I went to every, like, session because they'd bring us in. And I'd be like, well, I want to talk to people about their feelings and like figure out what's going on the inside. And I know those other culture guys were like, oh, he's going home immediately, because they were all like showing like their art and like their ballets and their playbills.
Like culture in that aspect, like culture.
Culture. That's what everyone in that, it was like 30 guys or whatever.
And you took it to a different place completely.
Yeah, I can't compete with you. I was like, I can only talk about what I know. And I was like, I know about relationships and mental health. Yeah. And they were like, and they took a chance. Yeah. And it worked.
Wow.
Yeah. But nobody else in that casting was like doing what I was doing.
They were doing something completely different.
Yeah.
That's insane. So who are you closest to from the Fab Five?
Bobby and Tan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bobby, because we're the oldest and we're both from Texas. And so we just have that nature. Tan, because he's the glue of the Fab Five.
Yeah.
He really is. I'll say he's the only one that, like, if there's a decision that's split, he's the person that can get all of us to get on the same page.
Oh, I love that.
You would think it would be me, but I'm so fucking stubborn that I'm like, no, I want this way.
Yeah.
And then you have Jonathan on the side, who's also stubborn. You have Anthony, who's sort of like very, very mild mannered. I don't want to say timid because he's not a timid man, but like very much like, I don't want the conflict. And then Bobby is also very like strong willed. So Tan is the glue. But I like that. Because it counterbalances with me. And then, like, Jonathan is the one that I'll go out with all the time. So I'm close to him in that instance. And then Anthony's the one that I'll have, like, deep conversations with.
Yeah.
So it's, like, weird because I'm close with all them.
With all them in different...
But Bobby, I would say, is the closest. We're neighbors. Our houses are 2 minutes away. Like, I can see his backyard from my backyard.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Are we kind of weirdos?
No, I love that. I live in the same building as most of my family.
So you get it.
So... would you say that your show, The Karama Show, is kind of an extension of what your role on the show, Queer Eye?
Yes, but it's more so the scenes, like, because in later, like, once they caught on and people finally understood, because season one and two, people didn't know what I was doing. You know, they were like, they're like, what is his role on the show? They're like, what is he? He's just talking? And then, like, as we got into season two and three, I mean, three, they were, really three is when people realized what I did. And they were like, oh, she's the girl that goes deep. She's the one that, like, does the wrap up on the inside, the self-esteem, the mental health. But I promise you, season one and two, people would be like...
You felt it?
I felt it. I read it.
Really?
We'd go into interviews and they'd be like, so we know what they do.
And you always had to, like, explain.
Always had to explain. Mm. You know what I mean? And even season one, they used to actually, like, cover up my long conversations and make me do these, like, weird projects where, like, I would do, like, build a website. And like, or like, because they didn't know, because everyone else had an action.
Mm.
And so they were like, you have to have an action. And then, like, by the time season two came around and people started to pick up and they were like, oh, like when he comes on, I get an emotional cry, I get a cathartic moment. Then by season three, they were like, we don't need any more of the, like, you know, stupid stuff. We just need you to talk.
Yeah.
And so in later seasons, like six and seven, like there's an episode where, like, I brought together a guy in a wheelchair with a man who shot him. There's an episode in season six where I brought together this Latino man and his whole entire family that they, you know, and they started seeing that I could go out of just individual conversations.
Mm.
And that's where my talk show more so extended from, of like, they saw that I could actually really help heal relationships between a guy who got shot by a man who shot him and, like, family members who were apart, that they were like, boom, okay, we can see this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and then that's how the show came to be.
Yeah.
And you were telling me, I asked you when you walked in, I was like, oh, daytime, because that's what you kind of hear, the daytime talk shows. It's like really hard.
It's a grueling, but I love it.
But you love it.
I love it. Because the thing is that for the intention of my show, and anybody who works on my show, they'll tell you, like, before we go out, I pray, even though I didn't know what Jesus year was. Not to do a throwback, but still don't know what Jesus did on his 33rd year. But apparently I'm telling people that, but I pray, and I always, at the end of the prayer, I say, our intention is to make sure they leave better than we found them.
Mm.
And so always on my show, no matter how much people, like, are in chaos or feeling like struggles, I literally always make sure I give them clear advice. I'm a really good listener and I hear all the nuances and I make sure they walk away. And then, like, I give out therapy on my show. I am, like, really making sure people feel better and empowered when they leave.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And Where can people catch it?
Well, you go to KaramaShow.com and you can check your local listing because it's nationwide.
Nationwide. 90%?
No, we're at 100. We were 90 when we announced.
Oh.
Yeah, press release went out. We're at 100%.
100% of the country, honey.
Hey,
I love it.
And girl, some places, like, shout out to Oklahoma. Y'all are, like, showing up and showing out thanks to, like Kentucky, girl. Like, there are places, like, I've never been that are, like, showing me so much love.
You look at ratings and things like that.
Because it's, like, not streamers. It's, like, they like look and see like, girl, TV. Who's turning it on?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Karamo's turning it on. Everyone go to KaramoShow.com. Yes. Find out where you can watch it.
Where you can watch it. We'll tell you what station to watch it. We also are on Nosy, which is like a Hulu type, you know, like streamer. And so we're there. And oh, you can also watch it on Hulu if you do the Hulu Live.
Oh, if you do the Hulu Live.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to watch this man in any way that we could?
I love you.
Karamo, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, I feel like
I could talk to you all day. We are literally...
Hold on, girlfriend.
Probably went on...
Way too long, yeah. But girlfriend, let me tell you something. If we actually did hang, because I'd be asking you a lot more questions.
I know.
I had to stop myself.
I could tell.
Yeah, I want to ask you like yours as well.
I know. I could tell. You need a podcast too.
No, I need to just come over for drinks.
Okay, let's do drinks.
Drinks.
Without the club, though.
Oh, yeah. Without the club, yes.
Thank you, yes. Karamo. You're literally the best. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Not Skinny But Not Fat. Follow me on Instagram at Not Skinny But Not Fat. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. Rate the podcast that you love so much on Apple Podcasts and write a little review. If you tell me you did, I'll give you a big virtual smoocheroo. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.